Hello and welcome to the debate. I'm Marzia Hashemi. Thanks so much for being with us. 12 years have come and gone since the U.S. and the U.K.'s invasion of Iraq in 2003. Besides the war being based on a false pretense, the invasion of the sovereign country of Iraq and the aftermath that took place is an example of one war crime after another. From the so-called shock and awe invasion, which left areas in chaos and scores of people killed, to the black op prisons, to the use of incendiary weapons against military personnel and civilians alike, to the indiscriminate use of phosphorus bombs, which have left a trail of death, destruction, and birth defects probably for generations. Many Iraqis and others want to know, when will the U.S. and the U.K. be tried for war crimes for the invasion and later occupation of Iraq? Well, I'd like to welcome my guests to the program. First of all, Mr. Ken O'Keefe, founder of London, peace activist and former U.S. Marine, and Mr. Lee Kaplan out of San Francisco, investigative journalist. Thank you both for being with us. Well, let's start this off in San Francisco with Mr. Kaplan. The large numbers range from hundreds of thousands to millions of Iraqis who've been killed since the invasion of 2003, and the terror continues. Many experts say it is the U.S. and the U.K. who are directly and indirectly responsible for this loss of life. Your take, sir.
Well, first of all, the report you just gave was not accurate, and it really borders on absolute propaganda. People have short memories, which is what you're relying on. In 2003, Saddam Hussein had the biggest army in the Middle East. He was threatening the entire world, including Iran at that time. He was also funding, to the tune of $30,000 a pop, suicide bombings in Israel. They were blowing up buses full of civilians on a weekly basis. He was sword rattling and threatening the world. And he had already gone through one war with the United States over his attempt to invade Kuwait. And as far as weapons of mass destruction occur, or them being a reason, he could have opened up his weapons to inspection by the IAEA, and he refused to do that. So then the question becomes, when intelligence sources all over the world were reporting that he had the weapons of mass destruction, how could any government in good conscience let him continue with that? And that includes Iran, by the way.
Of course, unfortunately, as usual, you did not answer the question at hand. And if we want to get directly in the WMDs, we will get into that a little bit later. Let me cross over to Mr. O'Keefe. Mr. O'Keefe, your take so far on what Mr. Kaplan is saying, basically the United States, the UK, definitely justified in doing what they did because Iraq was a threat to the whole world.
Yeah, well, Iraq was our best friend and ally. In fact, Saddam Hussein was our favored nation trading partner. We were giving him weapons, agricultural support, financial support, political support. When he commenced a war against the Iranians, a war which the Iranians had no choice but defend themselves, he was using chemical weapons. This is not any kind of secret at all. He was using chemical weapons against not only the Kurds in Halabja and other Kurdish areas, but all over Iran, and in fact was attacking small cities and field hospitals with chemical weapons, and this, it is acknowledged, was by the assistance of the CIA. In fact, the whole world was supporting Saddam Hussein in the defense of America. At least everyone else, including even the Soviet Union, was supporting supporting Saddam while he was slaughtering Iranians. And it is worth mentioning that the Iranians did not respond in kind and hit Basra and other major cities in Iraq with weapons of mass destruction. That goes hardly noticed in the rest of the West. Aside from that, Saddam Hussein was our favored nation trading partner while he was torturing dissidents and all sorts of stuff. And in fact, if he did have any weapons of mass destruction in 2003, well, where did he get them from? He got them from us. So the idea that any of this was necessary to defend ourselves is absurd. It is true, and it is absolutely self-evident to the whole world that the biggest threat to humanity is, in fact, those who were the biggest purveyors of weapons of mass destruction. And guess what? That would be Lee Kaplan's nation, the United States, my birth nation, the United States, who is the biggest producer, distributor, and user of weapons of mass destruction, including chemical weapons, okay, and even nuclear weapons. So the idea that we had to fight Saddam Hussein in order to protect the world is beyond absurd.
All right. Well, Mr. Kaplan, let's look at the realities on the ground today. From 2003 until today, 2015, it has been nothing but chaos and bloodshed for the Iraqi people. We have people like former President George W. Bush, former Vice President, the former Vice President, and also Dick Cheney, and also Prime Minister of the UK that were responsible, who were leading the charge in 2003. Do you think that they should take any responsibility for what is happening even today? We know that no WMDs were found. No WMDs were found. Isn't that enough in itself to have them come up on charges?
No, and what? No. All right. Let me answer the question. Okay. You know, because we understand this is Iranian TV, and if you want to get both sides, you have to allow for both sides. First of all, Mr. O'Keefe has a very short memory himself, because he was a human shield for Saddam Hussein in 2003, protecting his government. And even Human Rights Watch back then commented about the fact that what he was doing was aiding the
answer the question, Mr. Kaplan. Please stay on track. Go ahead.
I am answering the question, ma'am. And what you want to do is you want to pigeonhole me to make it sound like the United States and England are at fault here. He just made a statement that the weapons of mass destruction that he did use against Iran, for example, and against the Kurds came from the United States. No, they came from the French and they came from the Germans. That's a historical fact. He was a human shield for them back then. Iran has a stake today in trying to suggest that the United States and Britain committed war crimes. The fact of the matter is, the reason things fell apart there was because of the Shiite government that came into place in Iraq afterwards, and you've had a civil war since then.
Mr. Kaplan, we're talking about, let's look at the invasion, sir. We're talking about the invasion. We're talking about the crimes that were committed from day one of the invasion. We're talking about Fallujah and the chemical weapons and the weapons of mass destruction, if you want to say, if anything, were used by the United States. We're looking at now birth defects from Fallujah. This is what we're talking about. Who's responsible,
sir?
Who is responsible?
I'll tell you who was responsible was Saddam Hussein. And again, you're not being truthful here, because the fact of the matter was Saddam Hussein was murdering an average of 5,000 Iraqis a week. He was a dictator and he was a killer, and he was doing that, and he was posing a threat to most of the Middle East. He had the biggest army in the Middle East. He had tried to build nuclear weapons, which the Israelis took out in 1986. To suggest that this was some peaceful nation and the U.S. and the British were out to take advantage of them is absolute nonsense and ignorant of history and the facts involved.
All right, Mr. O'Keefe,
again,
let me turn to Mr. O'Keefe. Mr. O'Keefe, Mr. O'Keefe, if we look at this situation and what Mr. Kaplan is talking about, it's interesting. It would be at one point in time that Saddam become a terrorist, because most of the time he was actually one of the United States' closest allies. But if we look at today, why is it that we do not see the likes of a George W. Bush or a Dick Cheney or Tony Blair being charged with crimes, with war crimes?
Well, the short answer to that question is that the International Criminal Court is nothing more than a function of the powers that be, as is basically every Western government, as is the mainstream media, the police, the militaries. They all basically come under the control of those who control the money supply. Those who will dispute this are living in fantasy land, quite frankly. If you have an infinite supply of money, i.e. you're a private shareholder of a private bank such as the Federal Reserve Bank, the Bank of England, or the European Central Bank, any other major banks, Bank of International Settlements, if you have an infinite supply of money, if you control that money, you can buy anything and everyone that can be bought. So the ICC, the International Criminal Court, the one that is supposed to be prosecuting the worst crimes, is controlled by them. So that's the short answer. Going back to what Mr. Kaplan said, just a couple of things. If I had had my way instead of him, which he's nothing but a chicken hawk who wants to send more American sons and daughters off to die for Israel, if I had had my way, we never would have invaded in the first place. And let's keep in mind that when we invaded, there was no Al-Qaeda in Iraq. There wasn't even one Al-Qaeda member in Iraq. Now look at it. We've got ISIS, which is our creation, just as well as Al-Qaeda.
We've got ISIS running all over the place. That is a direct result of the policies of our government and our military while they invaded and occupied. It is the policy of Britain and America to sow the seeds of sectarian hatred, because this is perfectly in line with Oded Yanan's strategy for Israel in the 1980s. We always intended to totally destroy Iraq, to sectarian divide that place into absolute annihilation, and to weaken it so that eventually the goal of greater Israel can be employed and that Iraq can be taken over. This was the goal. So in that sense, the invasion and occupation of Iraq is not a failure at all. It has achieved largely its goals.